Amen. Here's the telling according to the Gospel of Luke. In those days, Caesar Augustus declared that everyone throughout the empire should be enrolled in the tax list. This first enrollment occurred when Quirinius governed Syria, and everyone went to their own cities to be enrolled. Since Joseph belonged to David's house and the family line, he went up from the city of Nazareth in Galilee to David's city called Bethlehem in Judea. He went to be enrolled together with Mary, who was promised to him in marriage and who was pregnant. While they were there, the time came for Mary to have her baby, and she gave birth to a firstborn child, a son, wrapped him in snugly, and laid him in a manger because there was no place for him in the inn. Nearby shepherds living in the fields, guarding their sheep at night, the Lord's angel stood before him, and the Lord's glory shone around them, and they were terrified. The angel said, "Don't be afraid. Look, I bring you good news to you. Wondrous, joyous news for all people. Your Savior is born today in David's city. He is Christ the Lord. This is a sign for you. You will find a newborn baby wrapped snugly and lying in a manger." Suddenly, a great assembly of the heavenly host was with the angel praising God. And they said, "Glory to God in heaven and on earth, peace among those whom he favors." When the angel returned to heaven, the shepherds said to each other, "Let's go right now to Bethlehem and see what's happened. Let's confirm what the Lord revealed to us." They went quickly and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger. When they saw this, they reported what they had been told about this child. Everyone who heard it was amazed at what the shepherds told them. Mary committed these things to memory and considered them carefully. The shepherds returned home, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen. Everything happened just as they had been told. Everything happened just as they had been told. I want you to pay attention tonight to the relational elements here, to the mother and the child, to even Joseph, the noblest of men who stayed with Mary in these moments. I want you to pay attention to the fact that the shepherds and the angels and all the creation was there, and they thought this was an unbelievable event. And it is noteworthy how hard it is for us to remember this fact in the midst of Christmas chaos. Just how difficult it is. Listen, I got a 4 and a 6-year-old. Like, this is my job, and it's hard to figure out how I keep everything focused where it ought to be. I mean, yesterday we had, so my family Christmas was yesterday. We'll drive to Houston sometime and have my wife's family's Christmas. We also have, you know, whatever happens Christmas morning, and then our little family's Christmas. We have a lot of gift giving in this process, okay? There's a lot of stuff, a lot of decorations, a lot of just really cool things. And what, as I was looking at the mountain of gifts, is that a fair, as I was looking at the mountain of gifts, what really occurred to me was I remember almost none of the gifts from when I was my kid's age. Do you know how few of those I remember? And even the ones that I do, like most of my gifts, I think, were Nerf toys back then, and they mostly broke because I played with them hard. But like, there was one that I remember that was right about, so my son is Sam, he's 6 years old. And when I was 6, I remember there were these Nerf swords. This is way too low tech for modern age, but like, they were awesome. But do you want to know that I don't remember them as much, except that I remember being with my brother bouncing on a trampoline, and well, that was before they had nets, so I'm amazed we survived. But I don't really remember the toy as much as I remember my brother, as I remember the morning of Christmas, and that we got to play with the toys until 1 o'clock. My mom loaded us in the van to go to her family. What I remember is actually none of the gifts. It makes me then wonder what we're doing with all the gifts we have and all the frameworks we have and all the things we do at Christmas. Just for the record, we do it too. No shame on anyone. It's just, man, how we're not going to remember these 20 years from now. You know what we're going to remember? The people that are around the table. Remember the stories that we tell with one another. We are going to remember the relationships that we end up having. I do believe there are a lot of Christmases, particularly the older I get, where I look at the gifts and I go, "Oh, it's great." And then I move on. And you realize that actually when it comes to Christmas, when it comes to this moment, it's all about the relationships. It's all about exactly who we do Christmas with rather than all the stuff that goes around it. Last night, Kim Myers asked me if it kind of gets old preaching Christmas Eve every year. And I just want to tell you, when we do candlelight here, it just never gets old. There's just never a moment where doing candlelight Christmas here at St. Andrew ever gets old for me. But I said, more than that, I've been on staff here for over 13 years. I've been senior pastor for over two. I've preached most of the Christmas Eve services at St. Andrew since I started. I think only one year did I not preach one. And I look around here and I look at how many of you guys have had a Christmas Eve sermon before? You guys have heard this story. You've heard Luke 2 read. You sat around and had the candles and thought, oh, we've done this before. We do this, we do this, we do this. And she said, are you nervous? And I go, the only thing I want is for people not to leave here thinking that this, they've just checked this box and now they get to go back to their life, because this is the way that a lot of us treat Christmas, where it's this one moment of sacredness before it gets devoured by Cowboys football. It's one moment of sacredness before everything else kind of comes in and consumes all the rest of our life. And I've got some really tough news, is that basically all the issues you had when you walked in tonight are the issues you're going to have when you leave here tonight. If you haven't done your shopping, it didn't happen in this hour, okay? If you have issues with your family, they are still your family when you walk out of here, friends. Like, this is just the nature of it. So the question is, what can change? What actually are we called to do in this space, in this time? And I think it has everything to do with understanding that all the things that we seek in this world are really, really nothing. My best example from that recently came from a podcast we did. So I've got a podcast with Julie Chisholm, one of our church leaders here, and she and I lead a podcast. We just interview people. We ask them. We chat. And they're all different levels of business or sports or whatever, and it's really fun. But I had the most interesting story told me, and the only reason I feel comfortable telling this is to you all is because, well, he told it to us. So we interviewed Ted Scott, who's Scotty Scheffler's caddy, used to be Bubba Watson's caddy. And he tells a story. If you don't know any of those names, you don't know golf, just bear with me, okay? So, but Ted Scott is just a remarkable, faithful human. And he tells the story that Bubba Watson had just won his second Masters. Now, I'm just here to tell you, on the pinnacle of cool things that exist in the world, winning the Masters is up there. Like, I'd rather win the Masters than Super Bowl. I really would. Like, it's just the coolest thing I think that exists out there. He wins the Masters not just once, but twice. And Ted says, you know, it's funny. He called me about a week or two after he won his second Masters. And he don't even say hi. I answer the phone and I go, hey, and he goes, is this it? He goes, well, hi, Bubba. He goes, no, is this it? He goes, what do you mean? He says, is this it? I've won my second Masters. You mean it doesn't feel any better than this? Man, I tell you, that's exactly how so much of our life goes. That you can go after everything you've wanted since you were a child. You could have made a dream list of all the things you've wanted, and for all of us, Masters is on it. But you could have achieved every single thing you wanted and woken up the next morning, and here's the crazy thing. You can wake up that next morning and go, huh, I'm still me. The world's still broken. What do I do now? I've heard this from so many people who have tried to find something and go after something, and it doesn't fill, it doesn't satisfy, it doesn't hold. And so the question for us tonight is, what will, what does? And the only thing that I think that has lived up to its billing is being a dad. I mean, I don't know that anyone's ever looked at their child. I remember holding my son and then my daughter for the first time, and no parent has ever looked at a baby and said, this is it. Mostly it's a look of terror of, they're going to let me go home and I'm in charge of this thing? Are you kidding me? And I think on this Christmas, it's the question of the relationship that I think that if we truly understood who this baby was, we wouldn't ask the question, is this it? We would ask the question, God, what do you want from me? Because this child, this baby is not just any baby. This child is actually God. As it says in the 7th chapter of Isaiah in the prophecy 600 years before Jesus, the virgin shall give birth to a son and they shall name him Emmanuel, which means God with us. If you go to the book of Colossians in the 1st chapter, beginning in the 15th verse, it says that Jesus Christ is the image of the invisible God. He is the firstborn of all creation. He created all things, both visible and invisible, in heaven and on earth, whether rulers or thrones or authorities or power. All things were made by him and through him. He was before all things, and in him all things hold together. In the 1st chapter of John, it says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And then in verse 14, it says, that Word became flesh and lived among us, fulfilling actually what God had lost with us in Genesis. It's what he does in Philippians in the 2nd chapter when Paul writes that you and I ought to have that exact same mindset. Let the same mindset be in you, he writes, that was in Christ Jesus, who though he was in the form of God, did not consider his power with God as anything, but he gave himself up. He made himself nothing. Did you hear the verse in the song that was sung just before this? For the girl that was in the dark, the baby in her womb was the maker of the moon. That the nature of this baby is not one that we can look at and say, is this it? I'm here to tell you, Mary and Joseph sitting there going, we know this is a miraculous birth. They didn't say, is this it? I think they said what all of us said and goes, you mean I'm in charge of this thing? The angels from heaven, they knew that God had made even them and that this was God here before them. And they weren't saying, is this it? They were saying, glory to God in the highest heaven and peace on earth. Do you know how little peace there is on earth? And it comes through this child. The shepherds weren't saying, is this it? When they said, you came and let me into this circle. The Magi didn't say, is this it? When they brought him gifts of gold and frankincense and myrrh. And my only fear is that you and I might go back to our craziness and our hecticness without actually asking the question, Lord, what do you want from me? Because in the future, you're going to look back upon this Christmas and you're not going to remember the stuff. You're going to remember the people. And I pray that the change that happens is that you and I remember who the baby really is. And so tonight, before you go back to the hectic, before even we sing Silent Night, I want to ask you the question. What are you striving for that in the end is actually nothing? What have you been going for that actually in the end is not going to be what you wish you had spent your time solely focused on? Who is it in your life, and then how do you have that relationship with God? I want you to spend 1 minute and ask yourself the question, God, who am I called to be in this moment? Because of who the baby is, who am I supposed to be? Take a minute, I'll watch the time. The God who made the heavens and the earth came down to spend time with you, to love you, to care for you. This Christmas, don't let it pass you by. This Christmas, as we sing this song, of Silent Night, I want you to imagine that you are Mary or Joseph or the wise men or the shepherds, that you are there, and as the Christ child sleeps, ask the question, God, what do you want to do with me? Because here, a life well lived, a life lived with abundance from God himself looks a little like this. You've met someone who looks exactly like they know who God is in their life and what it's supposed to do. Someone who has the light of Christ. It doesn't stay there. That light of Christ goes from one person to the other. One note, the unlit candle is always the one that tilts. But I ask you to stand and let the light of God pass from one person to another until it fills every single corner of this space. God, Emmanuel, is here. Praise the Lord. Amen.